This is an
Get In
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENM's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Maybe Gil should call Larry David tomorrow.
Please don't hang up. Please listen.
I think that'll be a real, real moment. Welcome, everybody, to ENN, which tonight is sponsored by our friends at the All-American Ford Auto Group. Shop the largest and best Ford group in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. All-American Ford has the largest selection and best price with locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Have you ever been punched right in the face?
And then we'll say good evening to Don.
Oh, jeez. Oh, no.
Not to close. Who's Spud Murray?
Oh, so much has already happened today.
You know what drives me nuts? When people go, I couldn't. No, I forgot now.
That's a classic.
Did you do ecstasy?
All right, guys. We've been talking about the NFL playoffs a bit today, and I think there's more to do. Let's go back to that moment.
Shall we?
When Carson Wentz, in his first NFL playoff start, was taken out by what some deem to be an illegal hit from Jadeveon Clowney. Let's first hear from Sal Palantonio his thoughts about the hit on his beloved Carson Wentz.
Jason Peters, the bodyguard, said he saw, quote, a dirty hit, unquote. We did talk in the pool report to the referee, Sean Smith, and he said he thought that the contact helmet-to-helmet was, quote, incidental, and that Carson Wentz did not give himself up as a runner, and therefore it was not a foul.
Here's Jason Peters himself on the hit to his quarterback.
When he went down, now we behind the eight ball, new quarterback, new cadence. With all the injuries, it was just an uphill battle. I mean, I seen the replay, and I just asked him, like, just stay off my quarterback. It's a dirty, dirty play. And he's like, no, you know, I was just finishing the play.
Jadeveon Clowney said after the game from the locker room that there might be death threats, and also referred to the fans at the link as, quote, the worst fans in the world. Wow. I like what he's setting up for the rest of his career in Philadelphia. Oh, Lord. So let me get this right. You know, I'm not villainizing Clowney. I don't think his intention was bad. I think it was a bang, bang, tough play. Don and I sort of disagree on that. But I tell you this, what a villain you've become when you take out a quarterback in a playoff game and then call the fans the worst in the world.
What are you trying to do? You're trying to get rid of headshots in the NFL, right?
Correct.
You're trying to protect players, specifically quarterbacks in this situation. You can't be reckless. You shouldn't be allowed to finish a play in that way. He could have done the same thing just touching him. He was going to hit the ground, but if your intent is going to be reckless, then I think that's something that should be taken out of the game. Like in the NHL, they have high sticking, right? Even if you don't mean it, it's an accident. You're still supposed to be in control of your stick. It's still a penalty. So the idea that he's just trying to finish the play, you have to be more responsible. And if you lead with your head, it should automatically be a penalty. We shouldn't give them the benefit of the doubt all the time. If you really want to get rid of headshots.
Yeah, but, you know, Orlovsky did say if he had to change one thing about him, he wouldn't have him slide. He doesn't slide.
Well, you want to hear from Orlovsky?
Yeah.
Here's Dan Orlovsky on his thoughts on the Clowney hit on Wentz.
Listen, if Jadeveon Clowney wanted to make Carson Wentz feel that he was there, you can throw an elbow into his back and he's going to feel it real quickly. And so I called Ryan Clark, who works for ESPN, about this last night. I said, talk to me about this as a defender. And he said, listen, there's times when just naturally your body, when it's going down, your head's going to follow. But Clowney's going down and then decides to tuck his chin and make sure his helmet is the first contact of Carson Wentz's. Again, I don't know what his intent was.
Right.
But I know that if he intentionally wanted to keep his helmet out of it, that's a very easy thing for a 6'6", 200-pound 280-pound freak athlete.
I don't know if it's as easy as people say. I really don't. The head is in front when we're trying to make a tackle. It's difficult. It can be done, but we just see everything in slow motion. That's happening in real time. Peter mentioned this before. I mean, It looked like he was leading with his shoulder, and then with all the force that he's tackling, the head's going to follow, and it followed and hit him in the helmet.
But still, the first contact is the helmet. So let's
say, it's not. It's the shoulder. You're wrong.
No.
The
shoulder
in the back is the first contact.
I think Michael's right.
And then the head follows.
And also, do you just realize, though, Wentz is running. Clowney's behind him.
Mm-hmm.
How much time is there between when Wentz starts his slide and Clowney dives? It's just so hard. And I thought Andrew ended up almost making the point for us earlier, which is it's first and 10 at your own 20 in the first quarter. Now, you're right. Clowney did not do what you're supposed to do. I don't think he had ill intention.
But
throw
the
ball away, man.
I'm just watching it here. And, you know, I'm no Philly fan by any stretch. You're a professional athlete.
I am, yes.
So you're supposed to have the vision and the clarity that we don't have, okay? Wentz is diving forward. I believe is it McDougal? Somebody from Seattle has Wentz by the ankle. So that means that once Wentz hits the ground, he's out of the play. Clowney's running alongside of him. As I have it stopped here, like just as they're showing the replay, Wentz is diving forward with a defender on him. He's going to be down. Clowney is just ducking. He is going to make contact with Wentz. He has made a commitment that I'm going to hit this guy. All right? That's what you have to get out of the league. He's on his way down. Why does Clowney feel like he has to drive him into the ground? Now, he's got his shoulder there, but I'm watching it, Michael. The helmet makes contact before the shoulder. You have to be in control of your body and realize what could happen when you throw yourself down like that. So was his intent to do helmet to helmet? Maybe not. But in putting himself in that situation, he had to know that that was going to be a possibility. So why is that allowed? Why does he have to let him know that he's there?
Because that's what football's about.
But it's not about that anymore. This is not 1975 where Deacon Jones could take somebody out with a clothesline.
But
this is a league now
where you can't hit people in the head, but you want to hit them hard. You want them to feel
but
it.
But you've got to be responsible. What? You let them feel it. It wasn't his elbow to the back, like Orlovsky was saying. It ended up being his helmet to his helmet. So he messed it up. And he partially messed it up because he put himself in that position to mess it up. He got away with it, and it worked out for Seattle's benefit, but that could have very easily been a 15-yard penalty.
Russell Wilson, during his exchange after the game with Doug Peterson, asked the coach about his quarterback, Carson Wentz.
Coach, it's an honor, man. Great job. Carson, okay?
So it's hard not to like Russell Wilson other than his Seattle.
Although I got to tell you, I think most of his teammates find a way.
Why?
I've never watched a better player who seems less loved by his teammates than Russell Wilson.
He just doesn't fit in.
He does not fit. They do not feel him. I saw, even like with DK, even with Metcalf, who's the rookie who he got 160 yards from Russell Wilson. No one seems into Wilson at all.
Ciara does.
He's so Russell Wilson too. Did you guys see after they got their first touchdown, then they cut to that shot on the bench of Wilson hyping the team up after the first touchdown? They're all like sitting, all his O-lines like sitting down resting, and he's standing up like, we're going to do blah, blah, blah. It's like, you just tell us, like, shut up, nerd. Just sit down and shut up.
That nerd can play football.
Well, he's incredible.
But that's the rub.
He could go on. You know, Wilson could end up in a conversation of some of the most elite quarterbacks of all time. That's, I believe, Don, if they go on and win one more ring, and he's got two of them this early in his career, like, let's say they go on a run and win the Super Bowl this year. We're not talking about him as an all-time great with two rings already?
Two rings and a third Super Bowl appearance that they probably should have won.
And now, moving forward, he appears to be in great health and can play. Listen, don't get me wrong. He's great. I just never get the sense anyone likes him.
Nobody's in better health, though, than Pete Carroll.
I mean,
68.
So when
chewing gum furiously up and down the sidelines.
Do you want to know the truth?
Yes.
Andrew, when I picked the Seahawks in that game, do you know what put me over the top?
Carroll over Peterson?
I pictured in my head, well, what's the image you're going to see Sunday? Picture Sunday, 7 o'clock. What are you going to see? And I pictured stupid old Pete Carroll pumping his fist, chewing his gum. I knew that's what was going to happen. We have seen this so many times. All they do is win in the playoffs. You know how many times they've beaten the Redskins alone? Three times.
Every time we've gone to the playoffs in the last 15 years, we've lost to Seattle.
And
they knock people out of the playoffs. That's what they do.
And I haven't looked at the number and I haven't done the work, but if I'm Green Bay, I'm a little worried. That's the
one.
You know, there's a history there already, right? And it's just the, that team just does not go away.
You know,
now, I don't think any of the four teams that won this weekend are winning a championship.
Now,
but Seattle is still very dangerous.
I think they're probably the most dangerous of the weekend.
Minnesota now with Cousins having that monkey off his back. Because I don't know. That's pretty quick turnaround for San Francisco. I know they lost Jimmy G last year.
Let's look ahead, shall we, to some lines. Interested? Anyone? Anyone?
Let's see if we can guess the lines.
The Vikings at the Niners.
I say the Niners 4.5.
6.5.
7.
Wow.
No respect to the Vikings again.
And then with our little hoodiddly-widdly thing that we do.
It's 7.5.
It's 7.5. Gorgeous, gorgeous line.
Am I riding the Vikings again? You know, I've loved the Vikings this year.
Let's give some credit. RJ Bell's been hot lately. Yeah.
He's so hot.
So hot. So hot.
Titans at the Ravens.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
9.5.
Yeah, 9.5. I was going to say 9, maybe 10.
9. So for us, it will be 9.5.
God, I know this game.
Wow.
Texans at the Chiefs.
5.5.
Don?
8.5.
9.5.
Mm. Wow. So the numbers are gargantuan.
I got to tell you what.
Seahawks at the Packers.
I hate the Texans. And after this week, I hate them more.
Well, I know. Seahawks at the Packers.
Seahawks, Packers.
6:40 on Sunday. It'll be cold in Green Bay.
6.5.
6.5.
Green Bay is -4.
But all right, that's the temperature. What's the line?
Ooh.
Both.
Wow. So they're respecting Seattle a bit.
Yeah.
I think I know what I like here.
So what they're saying is if that game was in Seattle, the Seahawks are favored. If we go by RJ Bell's little formula there, right?
They would be
Seattle.
-2. Yeah.
I don't know what to pick. These are such important games.
I feel better. Listen, I couldn't do worse. Maybe I could have.
I think the toughest game on the board. For me, the toughest game on the board is the Texans at the Chiefs.
You would have handled the ignominious fate of going 0-4 just so that I didn't tie you.
I was thinking, because you got to play the numbers game because that's what it's about. Who finishes with the higher point total?
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking the one positive of winning is that's the first tiebreaker is our record. So
right.
My record did improve on the final one by getting that one win, but still, from a point total, I would still have a lead. Why would I want to give up the lead?
Don't you get the feeling, though, that Peter's going to have a bad week following this?
I almost never have back-to-back good weeks.
No.
I've had a few 3-0 weeks this
year. Somebody said on Twitter that your whole season is going to come down to that Redskin 3-point pick, which was unconscionable. Now, on ENN, we like to you learn, you laugh. And new words are also made. Did you hear one earlier?
From who?
From Don. Take a listen to this.
And he parlishingly messed it up because he put himself in that position.
Parlishingly?
Well, I just misspoke.
Let's hear it again.
And he parlishingly messed it up. What is parlishingly?
He's so desperate to just get us to forget that he basically had Larry Davis coming on tomorrow four different times.
I didn't say Larry.
Four different
You promoted Larry
times.
Davis all day.
I did not.
Four
I might have missed, I mean,
different I times.
Give me one.
You want to,
let me hear Larry Davis.
I don't know if we pulled him because we respect him too much as a man.
Did I say Larry Davis, Andrew?
You did. You said Larry Davis, yeah.
No, I might have said Larry David quickly. I didn't say Larry Davis. I know it's not Larry Davis.
Well, I know you know
that. And he parlishingly messed it up.
And I know there's no partially messed it up. Partially, whatever.
Parlishingly.
Parlishingly.
Partially.
You did turn Taysom Hill into Tayshaun Prince.
Thanks a lot.
Please, RJ, do me a favor. I'll give you whatever amount of money you want to find a Larry Davis. There's four different times. You should be able to find it.
Now, why don't you say it then? Why are you laying in the weeds?
Honestly, because
I felt bad
too
for
much.
You. But now that you're going after me.
He said, off the air, I said, did Michael just say Larry Davis? And Don went, yeah, there's something going on today. He was worried about you.
There's something going on with me.
That's what he thought.
Really? Interesting.
But he didn't call it out.
Why are you guys talking behind my back? Why don't you just say it to my face?
But you weren't in the room.
Call me in. Say, listen, we think there's a problem.
When has that ever been done? When have we ever sat somebody down and said,
yeah,
you messed up a word?
This is how we
deal with it. We're an open book here. We're raising a skirt.
And
he parlishingly messed it up because he put himself in that position.
Let's parlishingly listen to the call from the Saints-Vikings finish. Here's Kyle Rudolph's big game-winning touchdown.
And it's from who?
From Kirk Cousins. This is the play-by-play from...
K-Fan?
WWL Saints Radio.
Oh, what? Wow. Oh, this should be good.
Saints showing pressure. They bring pressure. Lob it to the back of the end zone. Touchdown. Kyle Rudolph. And it is a push-off, and this could be a booth review.
It's reviewable. He did get pushed. He never was able to jump.
That's a full extension with the right arm by Kyle Rudolph. And the officials jog off the field in the Superdome. P.J. Williams takes the hand right to the middle of the numbers in the back of the end zone on the game-winning catch and stuff falling out of the rafters towards the officials.
There's no booth review or anything.
That's really, there was a booth review. Secondly, that was a full-fledged, full-frontal now, Maloney he pulled.
Saints showing pressure. They bring pressure. Lob it to the back of the end zone. Touchdown.
Oh, touchdown.
What a neat elbow right in the throat.
But this is gutless by the NFL, right? Because it was reviewed. But they just didn't have the guts to stand there and have the official on the in the middle of the field turn on the microphone and say
after
that it was
review.
That the further review the play stands is called, and then have that official get off the field without getting stuff thrown at him. So they quickly got out of Dodge. That is gutless. And
but they here the NFL did it to themselves all year, Don. When we think about the amount of no calls there were, just in the Giants and Jets games alone, how many times we saw reviews,
but
that one yesterday wasn't nearly as egregious as tons they didn't call.
But
so they put themselves in a horrible position.
But in every instance, the official would go on the microphone and say that it was reviewed and the play stands as called.
True.
And in one of the biggest games of the year, it happens. And you leave the crowds to their own devices. Joe Buck guesses and unfortunately guesses wrong that they didn't review it when they actually did. It gets talked about in the post game show, but if you turn the television off after Joe Buck says there's no review, you're not going to find out that there was a review. That's handled, and they did it because of the safety of the officials. They felt that that official jogging off
the
field.
And the officials still got garbage thrown at them.
Of course they would have, but in that situation it would have been, but I don't care, man. You take the job. Go out there and do your job. Get on the microphone and say, after further review, the play stands as called.
By the way, for those who don't remember, the first 10 weeks of the season, the pass interference review rule was literally like an intentional insult where you could take you could be like a Bugs Bunny cartoon where Daffy Duck gets his face shot off by a shotgun. And they wouldn't call it.
Daffy Duck, you said?
Daffy Duck.
I thought you said Daffy Duck just now.
I think you're really...
Everybody's making mistakes, huh? RJ, if you could come up with Daffy Duck for me, I'd appreciate it.
RJ, did you come up with Larry Davis?
It may or may not have been found, but I'll probably need whatever money Don's offering to cover my money for the rest of the year because I'll probably get fired.
No. Feel free to run Larry Davis after Daffy Duck.
All right.
He's scared. You've put fear in RJ's heart. He thinks that you would fire him for playing the audio.
First of all, I don't have the authority to fire anybody. I can make people's lives miserable.
But people are very sensitive to your suggestions here.
Yeah, they should be.
Well, for the first half of the season, you could be Daffy Duck and get your head shot off. They would review it, no pass interference. Then, like week 13, 14, 15, all of a sudden, they started reviewing and actually reversing calls. It's like all of a sudden they believed in the rule, and then here we go, the very same team that is the reason you added this rule in the first place has a pass interference on the last play, and to Don's point, you don't have the guts to come out and say we reviewed it.
And
poor.
Ooh. And when you listen to when they finally made the decision, they didn't take very much time. Like during those arbitrary week 5 games, they'll sit there for 5 minutes and look at it.
Yep.
That one they were able to tell in 10 seconds, you know what?
We're not doing it.
They're fraudulent.
It was bad. Really, really bad.
I think they definitely were steering away from having a long review.
Oh, that's what they definitely
were. That would have really...
Tough.
The crowd would have riled.
Tough.
Yeah. Here's Kirk Cousins in the locker room after the game.
That's how we've won all year. Team, right? Hey, you held them to 20 points, man.
Yes,
you
sir.
Gave us a chance at the end. But I got 3 words for you. You like that?
You feel happy for him or sad?
No, I'm happy for him. The only thing I'll say, if I'm going to be totally honest, was a little bit of fraudulence.
How so?
He was asked repeatedly, By Chris Myers, who I really don't enjoy as a sideline reporter.
What is wrong with you? Are you turning into a broadcast
critic? Why can't
critic?
We have opinion? I'm sorry. He's a grown boy. He can deal with it. If he sees Chris Myers someplace, you know what? He can handle himself.
Chris Myers is not good on sidelines.
Sorry.
During the year, you call games. Then the playoffs come, and they don't have room for you because they have room for Joe Buck and Troy.
I got to be
time
honest.
To sit out.
I got to be honest with you.
You agree?
I have never, ever sat there watching a game and thought that Chris Myers was bad on sidelines. Ever.
Did you watch yesterday?
Yeah, I watched the whole game. I never thought, well, he's awful on sidelines.
But
he's
let
good.
Him have his opinion.
So I don't want to say.
Don't be afraid to have an opinion.
I don't want
to
say who because I don't want to get someone in trouble, but someone just jumped in my ear and said that interview was painful to watch after the game. It was so awkward.
Because Kirk Cousins wasn't giving anything.
No,
sometimes
it's not.
Sometimes you can't extract
you know,
what you want out
you know,
of
it. You know, the sideline reporter job isn't one that requires no talent, and you don't do it all year, and you do it one game a year, and you're good at it. It just wasn't comfortable to me.
You know, take a walk.
Chris Myers' career is fine. He's doing better than me. He could buy me and sell me. He's good. It wasn't my cup of tea. Now, back to my point about Kirk Cousins.
Why?
During that awkward interview, he was asked, Myers, to his credit, did ask him, you know, did you hear the noise? And Cousins just always says, I don't hear the noise. It's not about that. It's about team. I don't hear any of it. But then you hear his locker room thing, and it was all set up for him to use his catchphrase. So he obviously does hear it very clearly.
So you're saying he's a phony?
No, yeah, there was a little bit of fraudulence.
Interviews are a waste of time.
Yeah, and you're lying through your teeth because the real interview is this.
That's how we've won all year, team, right? Hey, you held him to 20 points, man. Yes, you sir. Gave us a chance at the end. But I got 3 words for you. You like that?
No, I don't think that.
I love his voice cracking, too.
That didn't have anything.
You like that?
That was just his thing. He didn't say anything like people were against us. But no, he never said that.
You like that was based on people judging him the first time.
But Zimmerman started it off. We didn't have it in the audio where he's like, oh, hey, you want a playoff game. Like that was definitely in the air that he had been somebody that choked in big spots. So, yeah, he was saying it because of that reason.
And remember, when he said you like that, he said that to Bruce Allen because he'd been doubted by the Redskins the whole time, and he had the huge comeback game and screamed, you like that, you like that. So it's still the same thing.
You know, that $90 million contract's worth it for that win.
Right?
Of course it is.
Yeah. Well, and especially, how about the dime that was essentially the game winner from him? I mean, that pass alone, it was gorgeous.
The one to Thielen.
To Thielen. It was, and by the way, great catch by Thielen.
Do we have Daffy Dak yet or not? I mean, what are you doing?
He's busy doing
Bugs Bunny cartoon where Daffy Duck gets his face
Daffy
shot off.
Daffy Duck, not
Bugs
even Daffy
Bunny
Deck.
Cartoon where Daffy Duck gets his face shot
Who is
off.
Daffy Duck.
Well, I'm just glad it was Daffy.
Isn't it
Deck.
Humbling though? Isn't it humbling, Peter? You make a mistake. The big guy asks for it in 30 seconds. He gets.
Well, I got something here.
Four
though.
Separate times he said Larry Davis can't.
So Larry
find
Davis
it.
With us at this point. Larry tomorrow?
Larry David's with us.
No,
here again. Shh. RJ, turn up nice and loud, please.
So Larry Davis with us at this point.
That's not
tomorrow.
Davis.
No,
it's Larry
Davis.
David's with us.
It's clearly Davis.
No, you're wrong. I will take the hit if I deserve it. That's Larry
because
David's
distinct-
with Larry David is with us.
Play
Larry
it one more
David's
time.
With us.
All right, I need silence from everyone, please. Everyone listen.
So Larry Davis with us at this
Larry
point tomorrow.
Larry David's with us.
This is sad that you're still fighting it. You can't still fight that. You hear it.
And he parlously messed it up.
Why'd you just go on it?
Bugs Bunny cartoon
I would
where Daffy Duck gets
I would
his face shot off.
It's not Daffy Duck, and it's not Parsonlily.
Right. So people misspeak, Michael, but when you defend yourself and you're wrong, it's
well,
just
well, tomorrow
sad.
We're going to have a Parsonlily good interview with Daffy Duck and Larry Davis. I tell you what.
It's Daffy Duck is unbelievable. You're right. You want one other vowel, you're in trouble. You're off the air for a while.
I'm glad it turned out the way it did.
And the other thing, too, from the first game. And it's our company, and we do it, and it's something that people think is a good idea. We think it's an awful idea. Can we stop with the mic, the players? I mean, the J.J. Watt. Again, you said it great, Peter, a couple of months ago. Oh, let's go to J.J. Watt and down the field.
Hey! Hey! You want me? You want to talk to me?
Let's go!
Hey, we're trying to win. We're going to try to win. Hey, yo, I got you, dog. I got you, dog. All right, dog.
And that was J.J. Watt.
So all it proves that they mic the players that the mic works. Like, we're not getting anything. Like, this is proof that they do speak on the sideline.
There's a lot of try-hard stuff happening.
Game you didn't have – I didn't pay attention. No offense to Monday Night Football. It wasn't any kind of protest. It's just I'm so caught up in the game, I didn't even hear the announcers. Like, if the game's good, it doesn't matter. It's standalone.
It's so true. You don't need anything. There's a lot of trying hard. There's a lot of trying hard.
Too hard, bro.
The NFL playoffs, they should run just silent. They should just play music. You just play a beautiful classic
I remember
song.
That game. You were too young to remember. Michael may remember. That Dolphin-Jet NBC game where they didn't have announcers.
Why were there no announcers?
They just did an experiment to see.
Right,
they
to did put the us game out of business. Announcers. Have me move out of my house. That's what they did.
That's what they were going
graphics
for.
Graphics with the weather and all the things that you would be set up for. And
crowd noise. There was a lot of crowd noise.
Right. And you can call it yourself.
Right.
It was odd.
Here's Kyle Rudolph. He was on Golic and Wingo earlier on the possible offensive pass interference.
The rule is what it is, and a scoring play is reviewed. So for everyone that said, oh, why didn't they review it, it's a scoring play. It's reviewed. They don't have to challenge it. They don't have to call timeout. Nothing has to be done about it. It's a scoring play. It's reviewed. They looked at it. They thought it was just football. And, you know, guys are pushing and shoving on routes all the time. Was my arm extended? Yeah. But did he pin my arms down at the beginning of the route? Yeah. That's the way football works. If you want every route to be flag football and nobody's going to touch anyone, then that's not the NFL.
Boy, that's a great explanation. Because his hands were tied to him before he pushed away. I love what Zimmer did, by the way. The gun sounds, he runs off the field. Didn't wait for anything, he just ran off the field. He said, I wasn't waiting to hear anything.
Well, I respect that.
Yeah.
Couple other big notes from today, by the way. Tua Tagovailoa is skipping his senior season and entering the NFL draft. High praise from Nick Saban.
You know, Tua has probably had as much of an impact on our program here as any player that we've ever had. And I'm not just talking about as a football player. He's got great character. He's a great leader. He's done a wonderful job in the classroom. There's a spirit about him that has impacted myself and everybody around him in a very, very positive way.
Now, if we had Nick Saban on the show, we'd have him pronouncing program.
I'm cool with
he
that.
He says program?
Yeah, listen.
He said program?
Listen to the beginning of it.
I can't admit how did I miss that?
You know, Tua has probably had as much of an impact on our program here.
No,
wow.
I'm good with that, though.
Why are you okay with that?
Because he's in the part of the country where that's where they call.
I will
he's
never
not misspeaking.
Approve you know what else of I... him being on your program.
There See? You go. Now, I've also heard that former New York City mayor, Mike Bloomberg, is running for president.
Bloombita.
And when he says his name, he says Mike Bloomberg.
It's about
Listen
himself?
To his commercials. Yeah, it's Mike Bloomberg. Vote for me,
is that
Mike
the one
Lumberg.
With the nurse?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me, on Mike constantly Lumberg. Yesterday.
Mike Bloomberg.
He doesn't know how to pronounce his own name?
That's sad.
He should lay out. This isn't going to happen.
Don't get political.
I'm not going to get political, but I can save some people some time. Bloomberg's not happening.
Bloomberg
or Bloomberg, neither. And no one's even heard of Bloomberg. So
he does pronounce his name Bloomberg. Listen tonight. You turn on any show, a commercial will be there.
He can afford commercials, you
yeah,
say.
Yeah, he's pretty rich. Why trying to be a D? So Larry Davis with us at this point tomorrow.
The Cowboys are going to hire Mike McCarthy as their head coach.
Why?
Reported by Fox Sports and confirmed by ESPN. So that's a mix of like Jay Glazer, Schefter's in there.
Yeah, they all you have to confirm. It's not real until it's confirmed.
Everyone has to confirm. Also, Jorge Masvidal says that he wants to fight Conor McGregor for his next fight as opposed to a title fight with Kamaru Usman. So the amount of money there would be if Conor McGregor beats Cowboy Cerrone, that is, the money that would be there for Masvidal McGregor would be absolutely
that's
psychotic.
That's his name, Cowboy Cerrone?
Yeah. Yes. That's well, his nickname's Cowboy.
I like it. Cowboy Cerrone.
Now, on this day in sports history, let's go back to 2007, shall we?
Here's Gramatica. Romo holds. 19-yard field goal attempt. Oh, it is fumbled by Romo, and then Romo's going to run to the end zone, and he's going to get tackled by Jordan Babineau. Amazing.
So you think Al Michaels got excited enough there?
Yes. See, now there he's dialed it. That just proved my point, right, Andrew?
That's 06.
In 2007, the 06 season, he was still
dialed in.
I think that furthers Peter's argument.
Yesterday there was a fumble and he just yelled, watch out. He never even said what happened. He went, watch out!
Can I make one point about,
I'm not kidding.
Can I make one point about the NBC announcers?
Go ahead.
Are they gonna have them in tank tops next week? I mean, these are playoffs. They should be in suits and ties.
What were they wearing?
They're wearing like,
oh, the
sweaters. And Al's got it rolled up to show his hairy arms. I mean, stop! They did that throughout the season too. Maybe. Are we changing over now? Are we allowed to wear anything?
It's not right. What's happening? Look at me. I'm dressed up. On this day in 2002.
Packers are leading 34-25. Barr takes right, and he rolled right into Michael Strahan for the sack.
and Michael Strahan has become the NFL's single season all-time sack leader. And that was a gimme ball.
That might have been called a Fugazi sack.
And there's, do you hear Maloney at the beginning of it?
No.
There was a little Maloney.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Listen close.
Packers are leading 34-25. Bart takes right, and he rolls right.
I love it. So, you know, I think it's unfair to criticize Michael Strahan for it. What is Strahan supposed to do?
No.
Not touch him? I mean, Favre gave Strahan's himself
like,
up.
What if I was Strahan, I would have driven Favre into the ground, almost like what Clowney did.
And that'll do it for ENN on this Monday evening. Thank you.
I'm glad that wasn't on TV.
I'm Daffy Deck, and that was a good ENN. Yeah, they missed out.
Yeah, they really did, but it was a good hot stove, I hear.
Is that what you're hearing?
Yep. 1-800-919-3776. We take it till 7. We'll take some phone calls. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes. And 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.